Morning everyone. Lovely to see you here. It's nice to be here. I know I come from a somewhat larger ecclesia, but that's not where I started out. I started out in a very small ecclesia, as Mark well knows. I get but it's nice to have visitors and people coming. So I'm glad to be here. And of course, the loving greetings from the brothers and sisters in my chapter. I wrote this last night, no. This comes from some reason on the plan in Waitakere. I've managed to get myself at the, it always seems to be the wrong times of when you want to do an Excel, and it was the 27th of December when I'm completely knackered and the last thing I want to do is an Excel. So I've rehashed it a little bit, but the theme was taken from the Excel I gave at the end of last year. And the Excel started when I'd heard from a previous Excel from a brother in our meeting, who was quoting from James, chapter 1, verse 2, that under trial and tribulation we should consider it pure joy when you face the trials of many kinds. Because testing of your faith develops perseverance. And when we know God's word, we show we really know it by keeping it. But you know, what does keeping it involve? I always enjoy working with a laptop, and my mouse disappears, so it's all fun. But if I'm winging it, don't worry about it. John writes, "Whoever keeps his word in him or her, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." And John's world, like our world, has ups and downs. And he wrote, "The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." And, you know, note how he says, does the will of God. It's not enough to just know it, but we must act upon our knowledge and apply it to our day-to-day lives. And at the end of the second chapter, we receive these words of comfort, which if you think about the year of 2020, there's so much more relevance. And it says, "Little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." And so at the beginning of the summer holiday back in January, and noting the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, it says, which you're all familiar with, "To Ephesus, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life." And as 2020 came to an end, it's like any year when it comes to an end, it's a good time to reflect on the good and to put the bad and the ugly behind us. And those of you who are astute in movies, you know I've just quoted from a Clint Eastwood Western. And we look forward to a new year with new opportunities, new goals, new prospects, new ideas, and a bit of a holiday. The end of the year is always, well for me, it's very busy. It's a crazy time for everyone, I'm sure it is. End of school, running around, parents are at their wits' end. And in our household, we seem to run from one thing to another, have endless to-do lists of people that need to be met for some reason before the year's out. And the list of things to do seems to grow even though you're ticking things off. But, we managed to, just no divorces. That's good. Just big tick. And you know, be thankful that we're even now we're living in a somewhat normal life, unlike still some of our ecclesias, our brothers and sisters around the world. And unlike those members of our worldwide family, we're thankful to have been able to bring our kids to Sunday school, that we've been able to remember Christ on a weekly basis. We've had CYC, and the advent of technology has sort of brought us closer together when we've not been able to meet from time to time. I think we've made the most of the cards that we've been dealt last year. And, you know, at this time when I wrote this, I was thinking about if, you know, the work was finished, it's going to be a bit of a break. And it was a time for most of us to seek some sort of restoration and a change of pace. I'm not sure about you guys, but I tend to go at a million miles an hour, and when it comes to the end of the year, putting the old motor in neutral is a tough task. And it's the realisation dawns on you that you've got sort of 3 weeks of a break to try and you know, pause for reflection, and a good way to see if someone's actually slowed down is, I call it the flip-flop Acadia of the gentle rhythm. People walking, if they've got fast rhythm, they haven't slowed down yet. And they've got that loping, slow, wackety, wackety, like, you know, they've slowed down in the summertime. It's an interesting test. Mind you, not in my family, no one wears shoes or gentle for anything. Now, to the Church of Smyrna, he who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. And, you know, a lot has changed from the year that I wrote this, from the previous year, December, even from April last year to now. But, you know, we've still got many things that are constant and the same. Our Heavenly Father is one of them. His word hasn't changed. The God's plan for the kingdom to return to the earth hasn't changed. The love we have for our pleasure and our family hasn't changed. And, you know, we probably learned quite a few lessons of resiliency last year, and we probably had to overcome some challenges as well. To Pergamum, whom who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will also give him a white stone with a name written on it, and only to him who receives it. So what have we observed? I've noticed that for me, people around me have started to seek alternatives to their life, sort of more than ever before. It's like people have started to ask more questions about their existence, and is there a bigger picture? And you know, that's refreshing to us who, you know, held on to our faith for a number of years, but having those people sort of coming out of the woodwork and asking questions is positive. And every year brings this roller coaster of emotions, and the past year is no different. And in fact, if you look at it, the hangover from 2020 is still with us. We're still surrounded by uncertainty and anxiety. To Theatria, to whoever comes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. So, what state has last year left us in now? And looking back at the year, and with a slightly different lens on, we have to ask ourselves the question, have we moved towards God, or have we moved further away? Or have we just sat deadpan in the middle with no movement at all, neither forwards nor backwards? To Sardis, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out their name from the book of life. I am focusing on the positive piece of those ecclesias, but I have found some things wanting, etc., etc. And at times, for me personally, I'm like the church of Laodicea. I'm neither hot, I'm not cold, but I'm lukewarm. And it's not the best mindset to be in, but once you acknowledge that, you figure you can always do something about it. And for me at this time, when I was writing this, I had joyous task. I'm looking forward to getting in the car and driving 5 hours to Taupo Bible School, which I hadn't been to for 25 years plus. And, you know, this was to be with my family, to look at opportunities to, you know, for a week to immerse myself in God's Word. But I also wasn't going under any impression that it was going to be tiring, and there was a lot of talking with other people, which is good, but also it was quite tiring. But putting that to one side, what I did manage to do is have a full service pit stop, a good oil change, and, you know, God willing, that's aided in recharging my spiritual batteries and will take me into the year, which, funny enough, we're over a quarter of the way through already. I enjoyed the talks. They were excellent and varied, and, you know, I embraced reconnecting with family and old friends. And, you know, this helps base my overall connection to the Ecclesia worldwide, and as a source of that single-minded truth. To Laodicea, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And so, at the end of that calendar week, of that calendar month and that calendar year, I found I closed the door on 2020 and I had to move on. And to the new year, for some of us, it's a time to set goals for the year ahead. I know some that climb a mountain to watch the dawn sunrise as they consider the year ahead and the goals that they would like to achieve and the challenges they'd like to overcome. In Matthew 6, the Lord tells us to not worry about tomorrow, for, you know, today has enough trouble of its own. And it certainly doesn't say don't worry about the past, but we need to move on from a year as was and look forward to the future. And, you know, I think I can benefit from analysing my small number of victories and also acknowledging my errors, and then, you know, choose that path of not to repeat those things and the errors that is in 2021. And so we're told in many ways that we're not to worry about tomorrow, and that all things we wish for are to be presented and committed to God through prayer. And in goal setting, I'm certainly not saying that we should sidestep this process, but rather that we present these in prayer as our baseline foundation. And I think that prayerfully, also that we need to have goals in mind and to set our clear intentions to achieve these goals. These goals are these are the big picture ones. And once you have those big picture goals established and clear, then they can be broken down into, you know, monthly, weekly, daily detailed tasks. And through this process, one can get bogged down because you find that the goals you've set are the same ones that you set last year and didn't achieve. And if you're anything like me, you set the same goals year after year after year. And the questions come to mind, and the doubts sometimes start to eat away as to how you can possibly achieve what is set out in front of you, as you haven't managed to do in the previous years. But there's no harm in being brutally honest with yourself and looking at what you wanted to achieve last year and didn't. And we must not forget to, most importantly, at all times to ask your Father to help us and to guide us in making whatever changes we feel is necessary for our spiritual, physical or mental growth. And what we need to have in 2021 and the years to come, should the Lord Jesus remain away, is a 2020 vision, a clearer and articulated vision of the kingdom and how we want it to come and how we pray that we can be part of it. You don't want to dwell on what man and his infinite wisdom is going to achieve in keeping us safe at the moment. Our eyes should be fixed on the greater plan that has been years in the making, and the fulfilment finally of the promises and the joy that, God willing, we will experience on that day. And may it not be a burden to us to read and meditate on God's word every day, and making sure our meditation includes a personal application. So this should be one of our goals each year, keeping focused and looking always towards that day of Christ's return, and also reading God's word to point us in the right direction of the coming kingdom, but to keep us on that path. And as I said earlier, really, it's the only constant we have in this life. And as the years draw to a close, we know something as well for certain. We have all overcome something, some things, and you know, we've overcome, and we will overcome again. From Revelation 14, it says, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. Those who bear in their foreheads the name of the Lamb and of his Father have the mark of the Lamb. They are deliberately contrasted with the people who bear on the right arm or their forehead the mark of the beast." The Lamb is of course Christ, and he is pictured as a lamb looking as it had been slain. The Lamb, Jesus, is the Passover Lamb slain for the sins of the world and bearing ever after in his body the marks of the sacrifice. The original Passover lamb was slain in Egypt, and its blood used to mark the lintels and doorposts of the houses of the believing Israelites. But now in the book of Revelation, these are marked out, not houses, but individual men and women, each sealed not upon a door, but in their forehead, the door of the mind with the mark of the lamb. These are the individuals who have opened their minds to the message of God, who have directed their thoughts into the ways of his laws. These are they who have been touched by the blood of Christ, who have been baptized into his name and the name of his Father. These are they who, whatever they are, even in the grave itself, will be protected in the last day from the angel of death and will be delivered from the Egypt of slavery and sin and death. So to conclude this morning, reading from Revelation chapter 3, and listen to what the Lord and King Jesus promised to those who keep his word and do not deny his name. It's Revelation 3, verses 10 to 12, and it is to the Church of Philadelphia. "And since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name." Thank you.